Welcome to the Over the Counter podcast, where we share stories about local shop owners and their businesses. We believe that they are important anchors in our neighborhoods and irreplaceable for communities. But oftentimes, we don't know much about the face behind the counter that we see every day. Here we would like to get to know them and their story better, what their town means to them and how they are dealing with the difficulty of the current situation. Each week we will be virtually traveling to different towns in the world with the help of our local reporters. This week's destination is Eindhoven in the Netherlands. A small town in the region of Nord-Brabant, it is best known for being the birthplace of Philips, as well as being home to two famous universities in the fields of tech and design. Despite its size and high amount of retail chains, there are a few local businesses that give this town and its big expat community a great sense of home. Today's guest is Yamani, owner and chef of the corner in the Kleine Berg area. Originally from Morocco, his restaurant is known for its international food menu, with dishes ranging from Dutch pancakes to traditional Moroccan tagines to Mediterranean salads. He explains to us what makes an attractive dish, how to deal with disappointing yourself, and that ultimately, no matter where you are or what you are doing, family is what makes you feel at home. This episode was recorded in the restaurant on a working day, so that Yamani got up a few times to serve his customers, and that are here filled with quick explanations for our listeners to keep on top of the conversation. Enjoy! Hello, first of all, how are you today?
Good.
Yeah?
Shitty weather.
No, but it's okay. I don't mind weather, but it's raining.
Yeah, so. That's nice. Do you think you have more customers when it's raining or when it's good weather, actually?
In between. When it's too good weather, it's too quiet. You go to the park and everything. And
yeah.
If it's raining, it has to be in between. And it's always busy.
But you have a nice outside bit, so I think it's also fine when it's warm. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, for me as well.
Really?
Yeah.
But so how often do you work then? Every day?
Every day. 7 days a week.
But you love it?
Yeah. Otherwise I wouldn't do it. Like immediately start.
Yeah. So when did you open the corner?
16th of July 2016.
Oh wow, oh my god, it's almost your anniversary then.
Yeah. No, 4 years.
4 years ago. So what made you open the shop?
Luck. Yeah. That I wasn't planning to.
Mm-hmm.
I was working like nearby, like 100 meters from away, Pascopelo. I was working there, just started as a manager and everything. And then a friend of mine told me that this place is going to get empty. So I put one and one together, signed this contract for rent, and just started.
But was that always your dream to open a shop?
I wanted to have a shop for my own, but never like expected it to become reality.
Okay, but it was always a cafe or?
A restaurant, yeah.
So where does your love for food come from?
I don't know.
Really?
It's born, yeah, I think so. I really don't know. I'm officially a pastry chef, and I always like working with food, just putting flavors together and see what goes good with this and what goes good with that. I don't know. It's like born, naturally born with me, I think.
So where did you learn how to be a pastry chef?
School. Yeah.
Here in the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Crazy. In Eindhoven then?
Or? In Eindhoven, yes.
Oh, I didn't know there was a culinary school.
Yeah, there are culinary school, yeah.
Whereabouts is that?
The Berlagelaan. There were a couple actually, not just one.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. It's called School for Consumptive, like translated in English, School for Consumptive Professions.
That's an interesting that way of putting it.
Yeah, School for Consumptive Group, yeah. And that used to be its name. Now I think it's all one big organization called the also Summa Collegia. It just has incorporated it. You can learn to be a waiter, or a chef, or a pastry chef. Like you start with everything, and then after 2 years, you like specialize in one direction.
So what's your favorite pastry?
None. I don't like to eat pastry at all.
Really? No. You're a pastry chef that
I love making. I love making it, but I don't. It's too sweet for me. I really love making it. Really, I do for all the holidays, for all the birthdays of my family, or when somebody gets born. I always make the pies and everything, but I don't like eating.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Not at all.
But what's so different in making a pastry than making other savouries?
A pastry has more, how do you say it? You can put more decorations on it.
So it has more layers to play with.
More layers, yeah. Mm. With food, it's always like protein and vegetables and sauce, and that's it.
Yeah.
And there's always those four elements that you have to put together. Mm. Whether it's vegetarian or meat or chicken, fish, it's always those four. You don't have like a wide fiber. The only thing you can play with are the herbs.
Yeah.
But like the basis is always the same.
That's interesting. I never thought of it that way. But I also have to say, like, whenever I eat here and I look at your dishes, there is a certain way that you assemble them, mm-hmm. which makes me understand that you could indeed be a pastry chef, because there is sort of a hierarchy in the elements that you use, and the way it's presented is not just everything's in one
is it?
Mass. Yeah, I think so. I think they're beautiful. Like, even if
Thank
it's
you.
A sandwich. They're really nice.
Yeah, thank you.
So how do you choose your menu? How come you chose these dishes that you have?
Well, if you look at like my very first menu, when I just, like the very first one, it had 3 sandwiches, 5 pancakes, and smoothies and pastry, that's it. Now I have like, I don't know, 10 sandwiches and 3 pastillas and 5 grilled sandwiches and all sort of stuff in there, but it's like, it's, I don't know, it comes, like I'm working on a new menu, I change them twice a year, one for the warmer weather, one for the colder weather, mm-hmm. and right now I'm working on the, I'm going more international, like for the new menu I have traditional flatbread coming, it's a traditional flatbread, with toppings again with fish, vegetarian, chicken, meat, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it comes like I have 6 months to think about it. And just when I see a dish or see a picture somewhere, then it inspires me and make it like a whole new section.
So you always try out things at home?
No, here.
Here?
Yeah.
So who's test eating?
Me.
Well, you're a very good chef for that.
No, me and when I have like a new, when it's done, mm-hmm. like a dish is done, because it comes, I start with this, like I started with the flatbread. Then you pick the main ingredient, like salmon or tuna or shrimp. And then you just start adding, and then it's done. And when it's done, I have like a couple of like steady customers that come like from day one. Always tell them, and they like, after I taste it the first time, I give it to them to taste. Then they tell me like, okay, that's nice, or this and that.
So you have a trusted base of people, or customers that come regularly?
Yeah, every day.
Really?
Yep.
Every day for food
every
or
day.
Coffee?
But yep.
That's amazing. Are they from the neighborhood then?
They live. Some live nearby, and they all live in the same neighborhood, but they themselves, they're also like connected with each other in some way, whether it's financially or like business wise or they're friends or whatever, they're all like this one niche of people.
And they all come to you?
Yep. Yeah, not just me, but they also go to other places, but they're so far regulars that they have like their own account here. Mm-hmm. They just come in, eat, and I put it on their account, and they get a bill once a month.
That's a really good concept.
That regular. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So you actually know them quite
well. But they're here, when they come, they're at home. Like they, if they have kids, they just let their kids go and they come in the kitchen, cook with me. And it's like, it's not customer, almost not customers anymore. They know my name, the kids, I know their names, I know what their family issues and everything. It's like really close.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And they just started out coming since you opened.
Yeah.
And that's how it developed.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a really lucky thing to have.
Yeah.
Yamani quickly got up to serve a table some coffee when a friend, who I had mistaken to be another customer, came in for a quick chat while passing by.
So he was one of your loyal customers?
No, actually he grew up with me. We grew up together.
Here?
Yeah.
Were you born here?
No, I was 3 years old when I came here.
So where were you born?
In Morocco.
Whereabouts?
In Morocco. Nador.
Where is it?
In the north, by the Mediterranean Sea, yeah.
So how come you ended up here then?
Like classical story, dad been brought by a company to come work in Europe. And Martha, and they came here with his father, that boy's father, Hassan's father, they were friends. They came here, worked, and company told them you can go get your family. And they brought us all here and we grew up here. That's like a classical story for immigration. Like real classic.
But was it easy for you?
A lot of people are planning. When I was 3 years old, I think they didn't know anything. Because they remember the day we walked in the new house and everything. Like everything. Because it makes a lot of impact to see something new as a kid. Yeah, we grew up, so we didn't know better. You were 3, when you're a kid, you get used to new stuff.
Like, yeah.
You learn and everything, you pick up everything. But that being said, I'm not planning to stay here. I'm really planning to go back.
To Morocco?
Yeah. Yeah.
When?
Not as soon as possible, but as soon as I'm ready for it. Like, this is now like being built, and after a while it has to get sold, and with that I'm investing in a place in Morocco.
But you want to continue a restaurant?
I'm going
to
switch it around, yeah. Bring the international kitchen there instead of
the other way.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Are you going to go to your hometown again?
Yeah.
Wow.
Build a new house and everything.
With your whole family then?
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
So your wife's also a Moroccan?
Yeah. We were neighbors. Like also the classical story, like, oh, my neighbor girl, blah, blah.
He excused himself to make some food for a table they had just ordered, and during the time I was waiting, his mother came in and sat down next to me. He immediately made her a coffee, and it seemed like a beautiful ritual that they had between them on her daily visits. While he was cooking, she was watching him carefully, and motherly told him off for dropping a slice of cucumber when he was preparing the plate.
So, I love that she told you that you dropped something. I love that.
Smart. So.
She must be really proud of you.
Mm. Of a trots op me bent. Of a trots op me bent.
Yeah. You should be. Great restaurant. Was she the one that taught you how to cook as well?
She cooks as well.
Yeah.
That's
Do your parents have a restaurant too?
No. She caters at like weddings and
birthdays. So you did grow up with food, in a way.
I always was in the kitchen with her.
Do you have siblings as well?
A younger brother, 2 younger sisters, older sister, which is only from my father's part, and an older brother, also only from my father's part.
Are any of these people in food?
Nope.
None of them?
Nope. They can't cook as well.
Really?
Nope.
Are you the only one?
Yep.
At family events, you have to cook.
Yeah.
But you enjoy it. So
yeah.
So how was it now during the crisis? Were you closed?
What was it? No, I never closed. Like, I opened the day after.
Really?
Only for takeaway and delivery. What I also did was a lot of tagines in the evening, which I delivered at people's home because they couldn't go out to restaurants, so they had to eat at home. So I switched like the day after to takeaway and delivery.
Did you deliver yourself?
In the evening, tagines, yes.
And then when could customers come again? Just recently?
The day I opened.
When was that?
The 1st of June, I think, is possible. So, not all of them, but they just slowly...
Do you realize that that was something that you were missing? People have coming here and sitting here.
Instead of making up a dish, you have to make up a sandwich in a box and just send it away. That's terrible. Not really. Like really.
What's so different about it?
You can't make your plate. Like you used to like, organize your food and make it beautiful and half of your taste buds are your eyes. Basically, like when you look at the dish, it's either you're like willing to eat it or you're like, I don't know how that's going to taste. And then half your taste feels like it's dead. It'll taste bad before I actually eat it. And if you put a sandwich on a plate or a salad, you can arrange it, make it look beautiful and attractive. Like you can see a beautiful woman, like attractive. Like I don't mean that fake makeup stuff and Botox and stuff. Like real naturally. And all she has to do is to bring out the her best details, like a bit of mascara, a bit of this, a bit of that, and she'll look like twice as attractive as she like just walking out of bed, for example. It's the same with food, but it's the other way as well. You have to like you have to accentuate the with the taste. Yeah, with most of the taste, it's like my main is always in the middle, and around that are like the extras that complement.
Yeah.
The dish.
Mm. Yeah, you elevate the dish.
Yes. Yeah. Like you have to elevate beauty, like if you walk through a field, if there's a beautiful flower in the field, you notice it immediately. Mm. Like that's what attracts your attention. Mm. You know the food. It's the same with taste.
Mm.
You taste it, and the rest is extra.
No, that makes
and you walk through the flower.
Mm.
And same as the dish. If the dish is beautiful, you just you
want it.
Yeah, same as with
makes sense. Everything in life.
Yeah.
That's why, sadly, in design you have to make things beautiful so people are attracted to it and they can learn about the story.
Yeah, but you can also make it like you can also make it like out of the ordinary. Just as long as you don't make it ugly, because nobody wants stuff that's slightly. Yeah. People are born with that. Like the beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Blah blah blah. I feel like if you can make it that interesting that you like want to explore it, what's in it, like with this sometimes you see dishes with a cube or a sphere and then the food is inside of that, you want to explore it. I would love to taste that once, like the unknown thing, just the rest you already know.
So where do you get your inspiration from
people.
For your dishes?
That's why my menu went from 3 sandwiches, 5 pancakes to international, because the guests I have here, I have like these are from Suriname, they're Muslims, he's from New Zealand, the other guy's from Australia. Those sisters over there, one is from Iraq and the other one is from Holland. She recently turned Muslim. You're from Canada?
No, Germany.
Germany. But you're not German.
I am German. Half German.
Half German. The other half is?
Korean.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. No, but I have every nationality coming here. And that's why my menu is like also... It's got French, Italian influences, Spanish. I have like the entire. My flatbread is like a Syrian, Iraqi, Afghanistan dish. They have the flatbread.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
That's beautiful that you get inspired by your costumes.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. Do they sometimes also tell you what recipe you should try, or maybe you would be interested in this and that?
No. They sometimes. Not very often. But sometimes what I usually do is like tell them what I'm planning to do and then hear
you
from
get
their
feedback.
Reaction.
Mm. Yeah. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So you're gonna stay here for a while and then probably
Yeah, another 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm already planning there and everything in Morocco.
Yeah. Wow. So you go back every year? Or?
Yeah. Not this year, but
usually
every year. Yeah.
With your
just
kids?
Close for 4 weeks and just go in my car and come back.
That's a long drive.
Yeah, 2 days, 24, yeah, it's a day and a half.
Oh my god, that's so long. Are you taking your kids then?
Yeah. We go everywhere. We have a home there now. We all live together. Like with my mom and my neighbor, have like our own home. And you just go and you have everything there.
At that moment, one of his regular customers gave him a little wave, and Yamani jumped up to get him some more cappuccino. When he came back, he told me a little bit about their relationship and how he comes here almost every day for a coffee since he's working nearby.
Oh, it's so nice that you know so much about your regulars. It's really, it's like friends. It's great. Yeah.
No, him, his wife, his children. Mm-hmm. We come here and sometimes they come in the weekend, all of them.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. They must have missed you when you were were kind of just doing takeaway.
I think so. I also missed the customers actually when I was closed. It's like when you're it's like a second home for me. Mm. But when the doors close and everything's inside, the terrace is inside and everything's dark and no, that's not it.
No, I can imagine. So, now that you've already had this restaurant for 4 years, what would you say is the biggest mistakes you've learned from?
That's a good question. I used to, like, in the beginning, like, there was not, like, really a mistake, but I don't know if you can call it that. My prices were too low, because I was like that. I don't like, for example, a sandwich costed, like, €4.50 or something, and then I started comparing my prices to other restaurants, because I don't want to overprice people and like, oh, yeah, too crazy. But that was like the half of what other restaurants and places nearby asked for, and I did that for like nearly a year and a half or something. So I was, that's one. And two, I was the biggest mistake, if I think it's like when I just opened like the first year or something. I was always used to working like for I was used to work for people. Like, had a boss in between boss. I don't like the word boss. Terrible. And if I didn't feel like it anymore, like at 4 or 4:15, people came to the door. I just told them like, I'm sorry, my kitchen's closed, or just you're out of. But then I realized like people like really took the effort to pack stuff, kids, wife and everything, let's go to that place over there because we want to go eat there. And then they come all the way to my front door and then get told like, sorry guys, my kitchen is closed, just because I didn't, because I was like, I didn't feel like it anymore. I did that like for the first year, not often, but it happened like on a Saturday or Friday when it was really busy, and I really did that. And then my who told me, the friend of mine where I grew up with, he was actually the one that pointed it out to me. It was like, because he has a shop just in the same street, across the street. Yeah. He was like, well, he was here once and he told me, and he saw me do that. He was like, well, why would you do that? I said, yeah, well, I don't feel like it, like me, like really tired at the end of the, like a Saturday or Sunday or Friday, like you really like. And he saw me doing it, he was like, why did you send those people away? I was like, yeah, but it's like, then he told me, because he runs a shop like for 15 years now across the street. He was like, yeah, but the people, like, they really took the effort to come to you, not to any other place, but they came to your front door. And then you told them, like, I'm sorry, guys, while you're there. And that made me realize that it was true. Like, if you close at 5, you close at 5, not at 4:15. because you don't feel like it anymore. Yeah.
I suppose that's a very, I mean, I don't know, but I can imagine that this is quite a common thing to do when you first open your own thing, because it's the first time you are your own boss.
Yeah,
and you can do how you please.
You can decide whatever you want. Yeah, just like stay close or stay close. But that doesn't work like that, because you have first you had a responsibility towards your boss, but now you have a responsibility towards your customers, towards your guests. I would like to prefer to call them as guests. It's because they first, wherever you go, you look at Google, what time do they open, what time do they close, what are their ratings, and blah, everybody does it nowadays. And if they come here at 4 and they find your shop closed, it's a disappointment. You disappoint people in a certain way. It's like giving them a bad dish. I don't know, that doesn't, it's not, you disappoint people. And I think you shouldn't, try to avoid that as much as possible.
I agree. Yeah. I think disappointment is one of the biggest or worst emotions anyone can feel.
Yeah.
It's much worse than anger.
Yeah, it is.
Disappointment's so much deeper.
It is.
That's true. So, what are kind
of worst thing is disappointing yourself.
Yeah.
That's the baddest one ever. Yeah, you can get disappointed by people, you can just blame them.
Yeah.
But if you disappoint yourself, that's the worst. That's the worst ever. I had once, like I did that once, was I just opened like 4 or 5 minutes or something. I can still remember the couple, like they were in front of my eyes. It was him, it was quite busy, it was a guy and his girlfriend, and he ordered like a sandwich, I believe it was a chicken sandwich or something, and she ordered a banana pancake with caramel. It's still on the menu, it's like, was on the first menu, still on my menu. Some dishes like they stay on there. And it was busy, and I was making the food, and I was making his food, and I was making the pancake, and while I was making her pancake, I knew it was going to come out bad, because it was too thick and too much banana in it and too much dough, and it was going to, like, I knew it, but just, I don't know, I shoved it to the back, or just ignored it and just kept making it and flipped it over and blah, blah, blah. And I knew while I was making it, it was going to be bad. I knew it was going to be bad when I placed it on her table, and I knew there was going to be, like, I knew it, like I knew, but I just ignored it, just because it was busy, and just put it down. The guy came back, and at the end, the guy came back. It's like, yeah, well, how was it? Well, I knew that the answer was going to be, but I still asked him, did you like the food? He said, yeah, the sandwich was fine, but this pancake was terrible. It was like horrible, the worst pancake she ever ate. It was like, I knew, because it was all dough inside. I just looked at it and I couldn't look at it anymore. And I just gave him the lunch for free, because I know it was my everything. That was the point when I like was really like disappointed in myself, like in food making. I was like, yeah, it's stupid, because you know, and you still put it down, like, yeah, enjoy your meal. No, this is not how it works.
Well, it's good you learn from it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so vividly in your memory.
I really throw away a lot of pancakes now in the kitchen when they just don't come out the way I want to. No, but that was the last time I presented a dish which I knew. Sometimes you put a lot of too much salt in it or too much whatever. But when you like really know.
Mm.
I know, and then you still.
You're so worked up about it. Yeah. So funny. So, what would you say, like, for the coming years that you're still here? What are your hopes for this restaurant, or even for yourself?
I don't hope. It sounds maybe stupid, but I don't. And never that way. I'm a firm believer of fate. Like everything you can, like the only thing you can do, like in my opinion, is give it the best you have. Everything else, it's like it's fate. Everything, like, and I can, if I, for example, hope, well, I hope in 2 years this place is going to be packed every day from morning till six. I'm going to have staff walking around. It's going to be busy, blah blah. But if I don't do anything to make that possible, how is it going to become reality? It's not like some magical miracle is going to happen, like poof, and my place is packed, like from tomorrow on. You have to give it your best shot. And if that doesn't work out, then still you won't disappoint yourself because you gave it everything you have. That's it. Mm. Everything else is all in the hands of God.
So destiny.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I suppose that's a fair way of putting it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still putting in hard work.
Yeah, I give it my best shot.
Yeah.
And if it happened, like my plans to go to Morocco, if it happens, it's going to happen. If it's not going to happen, also fine.
Life goes on.
You're going to stay here. It's not bad here or something. It's like I'm like really attracted like to go there, to go live there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Do you think you're...
We live by the sea, so...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's very attractive. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think your kids would ever take over your restaurant? They're probably too young.
Parallel universe where they're grown up in 18, 19, they're still here, and it's still, yeah, they probably will, yeah, because they're 8 and 7 years old, but here it's already talking like, I want to become a chef like my dad, I want to become cooking like my dad, and they're already like in the kitchen, who's cooking today, like. They really want to learn, like to cook. And when they come here, they go in the kitchen. Like, can I make my own food? And if I can, like, look in the future, they will grow up here and blah blah blah. They come older and older. My daughter wants to be a teacher, and he like changes his study every day because he's still 6 years old. One year we're gonna be a fireman, the other one was comes to become Spider-Man. Goes on. So he's still not there yet to really make a decision about that. But yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe. But if I go there, I think that the chance is greater that they take over the restaurant. Because educational wise and like professionalized, the options there are of course a lot less than here.
Right.
Like you don't have a safety net there. Just really like it depends on how hard you work if you earn your living to make it through the day there. That's it. Because so it's there, it's harder than here. I still want to go back.
Yeah. What is it that makes you want to go back?
If I want to go out to eat here, and just a small stupid example. If I want to go out to eat here with my family, with my wife and kids, I have to specifically go looking for restaurants where they serve halal food, where they don't serve alcohol and everything. So we have like two or three places in Eindhoven. And that's it. Two of them are shawarma places.
Limited choice.
Yeah, exactly. And my entire like family outside my siblings, they live there. Like we have a house here, and my children from my uncle, they live here. The family of my wife lives there. The children of my other uncle, they live here. So it's like ancient clan wise, it's now modern houses and everything, but it's still there. And if I like go to Morocco like every year, and you arrive there, you come home. Literally, like your home. You have your home there, but you like also like really feel at home. And it's I don't know, the entire atmosphere is different. You have a mosque like 200 meters from my front door, and there is another one there, and then the sea is behind there. And if you want to go pray, just walk through there. Now, for example, now I cannot go to the mosque ever because Friday I work, and it's all the way back in Eindhoven, to go there. My children, they like when we leave, For example, we leave, go back to the, they like cry, like they have tears flowing to here, what they, because they're all, they have the nieces, their nephews, they're every, there they can, you can just, here they grow up inside the house, they're like inside from school, inside, and they have to go play outside, they have to go all the way to the playground, like, and go play there for an hour and a half and something, and come back home inside, where they give, live, or they go sit in the garden. But when it's dark, they just inside. Everything is inside. The front door is closed. People have those things.
Yeah, the shutters are down.
Lucky. And there, we live outside. There's no inside for us there. It's just non-existent. Like at 2 o'clock in the night, you go upstairs and you go sleep, and you wake up and you go outside. That's it. And they live outside, like the front door is open, they play outside, they're the entire day they're outside. Otherwise, we go to the beach, or they, if we stay at home, they just play outside in front of the door with all the kids. It's a completely different environment to grow up in. And there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Non-existent. We don't even have a television there. Like, you don't, what? You live outside, what would you do with the television? It's a completely different, it's a different environment to grow up in and to live in.
Yeah, completely different way of life.
Yep. Yeah. Like the other side of the coin, like literally.
Well, I see the attractiveness of it.
Yeah.
And why you want to go back.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. But in Eindhoven, you live around this area as well?
Or? No, 15 minutes.
Ah, you live
further. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
and don't get me wrong, and like opportunity wise, you cannot have a better place in the Netherlands to live. Like, really, like everything's like arranged. If you want this, you walk that path and you get it. And if this is your right, you'll get it. If it's not allowed, everybody will tell you this. Like everybody will tell you that's not allowed. Like it has to be. Like you have all the opportunities you have, just as long as you walk into their in their lane, you get everything you want. But you have to stay in that lane. Don't go like this or like that. They'll stop you. Really.
Very Dutch.
Yep.
And German probably too. That's interesting. I think one last question I have is how your relationship is with the neighborhood around you. So with
oh,
the
really
other
good.
Shops or people.
Oh,
here.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Almost my neighbor's son is works here on the weekends. Just a couple of doors down the street, his mother came to me like, my son wants to come to work with you. He's like 15 years old, but he really likes your place. I said, yeah, let him come. Well, that was 2 years ago. He still works here. I know his mother, his father, I know my other neighbors, like Kofi and Batje. All the other shops, I know them. Like, good morning, good afternoon, like this. Not like personally. I don't like hang out with them or something.
Okay. But it's a friendly atmosphere all
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's great.
Very
amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, you can say whatever you want still, but this is really interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.